Interestingly enough, the thing we know most about the Moche is from their pots. Their pots, they were magnificent potters. They produced superb portrait pots of Moche lords looking serenely into the distance. But they produced them of fishermen. They produced them of shamans, of people engaged in day-to-day activities. And they also painted friezes on some of these pots in black. And using an ingenious photographic technique, which basically unrolls the pot by photographing it revolving on a platform, they can produce a flat version of the frieze painted around the pot. And Chris Donnan at UCLA has examined hundreds of these friezes. And among them are scenes of warfare, of people fighting and capturing prisoners. And there were scenes also of these prisoners of war being paraded in front of what appeared to be lords dressed in regalia remarkably like that found in the tombs of the lords of Sipan. Then you see the prisoners being executed. And you see the leader and others drinking the blood of the victim while the corpse was dismembered. And Chris Donnan believes that these men were warrior priests. They were the lords of the Moche, men of enormous wealth who controlled through food surpluses the work of very, very skilled artisans, gold, silver, copper, pottery, textiles. These people were not only had metallurgy, the earliest in the New World, but they also were magnificent craftsmen in many other gestures. But most of the population, of course, dealt entirely with day-to-day life. They were just farmers. Again, it was a pinnacle. And these people lived in isolation on the top of adobe pyramids, some of which were residences. Other of them had temples. But, like Aztec and Maya rulers, the Moche warrior priests were well aware of the impact of theatrical ceremony and public appearance, where they would glitter in the sun like gods. But these society was very, very vulnerable. The wealth of Moche society was concentrated in very, very few families, a nobility who ruled from ceremonial centers at strategic locations in the valleys. But they were vulnerable. Why? Two words. El Niño. We know that El Niños descend on this coast, bringing with them 100-year rains. And in addition, sometime between 650 and 700, a great earthquake hit the coast. The Moche capital was at Cerro Blanco, near the modern city of Trujillo. Two huge adobe platforms for palaces and temples, surrounded by irrigation works and extensive urban precincts. This great earthquake struck the Andes, blocked irrigation canals, and choked the river with landslides. The silt washed into the Pacific and washed ashore, only to be blown inland to form huge sand dunes, burying agricultural land. They probably lost thousands of acres just at a moment when a powerful El Niño devastated the coastal fisheries in about AD 600, bringing 100-year rains which swept away generations of irrigation and much of the capital. The capital was partly flooded, repaired, and then overwhelmed by sand dunes. So the great lords had to abandon their capital and move northwards, close to where the rivers debouched from the foothills, where water could be maximized. But only a half century later, another El Niño descended on the Moche state, and a combination of this and probably competition from the highlands caused civilization to settle, to collapse. As Moche civilization came and ended, a separate tradition of small kingdoms had already developed at the southern pole of Andean civilization, near Lake Titicaca. And as Moche collapsed, so these civilizations began to come into prominence. This has told the story, this lecture, of the beginnings of Andean civilization from its two poles at the opposite end of the Andean world. We've described the maritime foundations hypothesis, which holds that the rich Pacific fisheries were a major catalyst for Andean civilization. We talked about the changes in spiritual belief at Chavín de Huanta, and then we recounted the rise and fall of Moche civilization in the North Coast. The major themes here are interactivity and vulnerability in a desert environment where you could only live by the coast or in the river valleys. And we'll talk about the later stages of Andean civilization after AD 700 in the next lecture.